The New Testament Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. The structure of the epistle, thankful prayer, Paul's missionary report, God's call to be holy, and doctrinal polemics, finally, joyful partnership. Today we shall distinguish cause and effect from imperative and outcome. Cause and effect is mechanical, predictable, and measurable, whereas imperative to outcome remains relational, conditional, and experiential. Thus, today's outline, under joyful partnerships, God's spiritual provisions, not cause and effect, but imperatives, verses 1 through 6, outcomes, verse 7, imperatives again in verse 8, and outcomes in verse 9. Next time, we shall look at God's material provision. Stand firm. My dear friends, I love you and long to see you because you give me joy and prove that the Lord will reward me. So, remain faithful to the Lord in the same way that I do. The Philippians were a cause of joy, both now and anticipated joy at Jesus' return. Will reward me, the Greek word is Daphanos, which was the victor's wreath in the sports. And to remain faithful, literally to stand firm, that is, not dissuaded by Judaizers, legalists, mystics, or perfectionists. Now, verse 1 is a bit controversial regarding its discourse function. That is it the conclusion to a previous section of the letter, or is it the introduction to this final section? Or perhaps a transitional sentence? It seems to form what literary critics call an inclusio, with chapter 1, verse 27, which you shall see in a moment. If this is so, then the final section begins with verse 2. What is an inclusio? It's when you have a statement followed by text, including discourse and details, concluding with a restatement of the same ideas. 1:27 reads, "That I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel," compared with 4:1. "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." They were indeed standing firm, in one spirit, probably meaning with the same attitude. And in 4:1, an imperative, stand firm as those who belong to Jesus Christ. Let's look at the next imperative, verse 2. "I urge both Euodia and Syntyche to agree together as fellow Christians. And I request of you, my loyal partner, to help them to do so." Well, to agree in the Lord, literally in the Greek, to think the same thing. Find areas of agreement and think about these together. Paul is addressing one of the church leaders whom he calls a loyal partner. Faithfulness is the first character requirement of a church leader, not their education or how handsome they look wearing their vestments. The term partner literally is yoke mate. Paul was always careful never to pull rank, as they say. What is the outcome of obeying the imperative? "They contended for the gospel along with me, and also with Clement and my other co-workers, whose names remain recorded in the book of life." All who are born are registered in the book of life, and our objective should be not to have our name removed. "They contended," that is to say, they defended the gospel against antagonists, whom we have seen previously. Paul here refers to church members as his co-workers, not merely his helpers. It is very motivating to be known as a partner. And names are listed in the metaphorical book of life, that is, Jesus Christ knows each one of us personally. Another imperative and outcome. Verse 4, keep rejoicing all the time because you belong to the Lord. I repeat, rejoice because the Lord is nearby. In that way, everyone will experience how reasonable you are. Well, always rejoicing, that is, in every circumstance. Well, circumstances can be quite aggravating, even demotivating. So, we rejoice because we belong to the Lord, not because things are going well for us. Likewise, because the Lord is nearby. He is nearby relationally. He is with us. He is nearby experientially. We can count on Him. And He's nearby chronologically, that is, always ready to return to the world when every people group in every nation will have heard the good news. Everyone will experience, literally they will know, that is, they will know personally by experiencing how reasonable or gentle we are, free from anger and disdain towards others. Are you making your requests known to God? Here is an imperative. Stop worrying about things. Instead, pray about things by making specific requests to God and by thanking Him for what He does. Worry is a kind of fear that causes doubt and leads to inaction. When we formulate requests, we specify to God what we want Him to do. Then, when He does it, we will know that He has done it, and we will thank Him for it. In fact, our thanks is all He wants from us in prayer. So, let's make some God-sized requests. Make them as specific as possible. Remember, God knows all the details. He knows them better than we do. He knows which are true and which we have misunderstood. Formulate a request for a family member, perhaps an adult child who has wandered away from the faith, for a personal need or desire, for city or state government, for legal, social, or cultural change, for the gospel to penetrate into hard places, for someone in poor health, for an opportunity to share Jesus. If you're in a group, then formulate at least one request that you're willing to tell the others. Ask for something which is unlikely to happen without your prayer. And after you have stated your prayer aloud, all of you together should shout, Amen. What will be the outcome? 7. Then God will cause you to experience peace, which will protect your feelings and your thoughts in ways which surpass your ability to understand mentally. Peace, remember, is the opposite of worry. The term heart in Scripture usually refers to our emotional life, whereas our thoughts center on certain mental models that we have learned from our culture or our worldview of how we believe things actually work, whether true or false, to our mental processes. God is able to supply a peace which we simply cannot figure out or cause to happen in others. Another imperative, verse 8, in conclusion, dear friends, keep thinking logically about things which are true, respectable, honest, holy, pleasing, admirable, virtuous, praiseworthy, instead of the usual sewage that springs up in our mind and defiles our heart. Another imperative and the outcome. Keep practicing the things which you learned, received, heard, and saw from me. then God, who gives that peace, will always be with you. They learned these things from Paul. It's the same verb Jesus used when he said, "Go make disciples by teaching them how to obey Jesus' commandments." The things that they received from Paul, which they have now made their own. Some of these they heard from him, because he was always sharing sound advice, especially the teachings from Jesus. And others they saw in him, his love in action. Well, should you choose to continue with this course, then your assignment for the final session is again to read through chapter 4 and look more closely at verses 10 through 23. Visit our website at philippians.site, S-I-T-E, and try to memorize at least one verse.